So, this is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 160, 160C, page 688, and we are taking paragraphs from Cosmic Fire, which deal with the planets. We've just been dealing with Mercury. We've been dealing quite a bit with Venus. Some hints on the signs of triangles, this section is called. Just as in connection with our planetary logos, the three etheric planets of our chain, Earth, Mercury, and Mars. You wonder about that? Because, you know, Earth is here called a planet. And this does not refer to the planetary chain or scheme. And interestingly, Earth has a dense crust, but it's still called etheric. You know, basically, Earth, despite its dense crust, is basically etheric. And Earth, Mercury, Mars, let's look at our chain again, because I think the numbering is different, if he really means chain. So here's Mars up in the sixth. Here's Mercury here in the fifth. Is he talking about globes? Planets of our chain. Yeah, he's talking about globes. These are not chains. He is talking about globes. So now we'll check out the globes. And here is the Mercury globe, and the Mars globe is... Well, is this told? In our Earth chain, which one is the Mars globe? In Cosmic Fire, we might be able to learn that. globe. Mars. Oh. Let's not do that then. Let's do it this way. Mars, globe, none, and globe, Mars. There's one. Not this way. But there is a listing in A Treatise on Cosmic Fire of chains. So I wonder if I could go there. Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. What will we have here? Let's see if we can get into A Treatise on Cosmic Fire and whether we can see that. Now we're in Esoteric Astrology, and we have passed beyond A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, definitely. But I'm remembering, of course, in TCF that we had the globes. And the 52 Mars. Let's see what we have here. No. Well, I'm going to have to let that go, you know, somehow here. Ah. There. A prophecy. Maybe these are chains. A prophecy might now, we might now, prior to continuing with our subject, name the different chains of the Earth scheme. We must bear carefully in mind that these are simply names affixed to the chains and globes for the sake of clarity, but maybe not, maybe there's more. And as this subject is more widely studied, it will inevitably be found advisable to call the chains by their numbers and to drop the names. So we do have a list of chains which can suggest certain rays. Do we ever have a list of globes? That's the question. And the names given to globes. Sometimes the globes are considered contiguous. For instance, in Theosophy, we have the globe related to Mars and the globe related to Mercury. I think, if I remember correctly, straddling, as it were, in the diagrams, the globe, the Earth globe. All this in the Earth chain. So maybe we're not going to find this in Cosmic Fire, and we'll have to go back and look in Theosophy. But anyway, this is called the Venus globe. At least Venus is defined, and so is Mercury, but the Mars is not, and I have a feeling it's the third one. I do remember the way that was laid out. Now, we cannot say that those early books necessarily tell the whole story or are even accurate. But I do remember that it was laid out in that manner. So let's see what it says. Just as three etheric planets of our chain, Earth, Mercury, Mars, form a triangle of rare importance because they are contiguous and reflect the numbering of the planetary schemes in the solar systemic diagrams, so it may be said that at the present point in evolution of the Logoic centers, Venus, Earth, and Saturn form one triangle of great interest, and this we have discussed. You know, we've talked about Saturn as representing will, Venus, soul, and Earth, personality. We've talked about Venus being substituted for the astral body. There's many ways we could look at this. Substituting for the Martian astral body of that great third ray entity. We can look at Saturn as concrete, Venus as higher mind, Saturn as concrete mind, and Earth as ether. So this could be considered a soul, mind, brain alignment. Venus, soul, Saturn, mind, Earth, brain, or etheric brain anyway, form one triangle of great interest, I believe, stimulated by Kundalini at this time. And then also we have, it is a Sanat Kumara triangle, with Sanat Kumara being an equal, well, I can't call it equal, a blend of influences from Saturn and from Earth. No, from Venus. He's the Ancient of Days, Saturn, but he's also the Lord of Venusian love. So in a way, we also have the triad soul and personality represented, with Saturn representing the triad and the triadal lives. Oh, that's interesting. Also, no. Thank goodness we can go back on that. Also, Saturn, the triadal lives of the third creative hierarchy, and Venus, the lives of the fifth creative hierarchy, and Earth perhaps representing man. Earth is not in as the ruler of any of those hierarchies, maybe of the Hegemonian hierarchy, which is liberated and is the fourth of the liberated creative hierarchies. Notice there the connection of the fourth hierarchy, which is liberated, and the symbol of the Earth, which is fourfold. Well, you know, one could sit down with one's fellow students and simply look at that. DK says, okay, Saturn, Venus, and Earth form a triangle of great interest. And then ponder on that. As I said earlier, you know, we could have the throat center Saturn, the base of the spine Earth, and Venus in the middle, either as the solar plexus or the coming heart center. I'm not sure. It hasn't quite gelled, but you know, I've given a number of speculations here as to how it could look. It is a triangle that it is at this time undergoing vivification through the action of Kundalini. Indeed, that is so. All right. I did remember that properly. It is consequently increasing the vibratory capacity of the centers. Which centers? Which are slowly becoming slowly fourth dimensional. That is a preparation for initiation. Prep for initiation. And if it's in the etheric body itself, it's a preparation for the first initiation. If it's in the astral body, fourth dimensionality is a preparation for the second. And if in the mental body, fourth dimensionality is a preparation for the third. I seem to gather that from Cosmic Fire, and I'm being refreshed as I read this. See, the three aspects of mind. Here's another way of looking at it. Another way of looking at this triangle. Whoop. Okay, let's get that form. And another way is like this. Saturn, the abstract mind, Venus, the sun of mind, not a spark of mind, sun of mind, and Earth, the mental unit. So Saturn, you know, can be abstract mind and monastic permanent atom. And Venus, the sun of mind and its petals. Well, what we have here, and its petals, we have a version. What we have is a version of three minds unite. Okay, that's a little bit of an expansion upon what I said before. There is a definite occult reason under the laws of electricity behind the known fact that every initiate presented to the initiator is accompanied by two of the masters. This is a balancing factor, who stand on either side of him. The three of them together form a triangle which makes the work possible. Well, in a way, they are the synthesizing planets. They are, in a way, the synthesizing planets, because Uranus is the Hierophant, and Neptune and Saturn can equilibrize, trying to see how the connection here could be made planetary. This is an expansion on the science of triangles, but if it doesn't have a planetary meaning behind it, then it's simply expanding the knowledge without astrology. In all these triangles, cosmic, systemic, and planetary and human, two points of the triangle represent each a different polarity, and one point represents the point of equilibrium, of synthesis, and of merging. And I've talked about the Venus, Earth, and Mercury triangle, being with Mercury doing the equilibrizing. I'll just mention that one more time. The Venus, Earth, and Mercury triangle with Mercury equilibrating or equilibrizing. Page 689, another fact that should be noted about these great beings is that when viewed in their seven groups, they form... What are these beings? Cosmic Fire 388. So we don't dare go on unless we look at who they are. Okay. These are Kumaras. It has been stated that 104 kumaras came from Venus to the Earth. Literally, the figure is 105. And I always have to ask, what about the esoteric ones? When the synthesizing unit, etc. I would call your attention to the dual significance of the name Buddhas of Activity. We did this. These entities are divided into three groups of 35 each, and in themselves embody the three major centers of the planetary logos. Wow. That is an amazing statement, especially since we've been looking at chain lords as major centers, but then again there are seven and there's always three above. So are these the three hovering above? Those three groups which are known as the three departments, for it should be emphasized that each department forms a center. The ruling department, the teaching department, the throat center. Anyway, this is really interesting. 387. I think I want to make a little note here. Kumaras divided into three groups. And with the esoteric Kumaras, the groups would be of 36, wouldn't they? So this is TCF 387. No. All right, get back there. So we'll say this, that... So if the esoteric Kumaras were included, there would be 3 times 36 Kumaras. And this looks like an important number because we have the decanates here, the 36 decanates, connected with three groups of 36 Kumaras. So you kind of wonder, can the Kumaras be related to the decanate structure? And 3 times 36, well, that's an astrological kind of association. They embody the three major centers of the planet. Kumaras, the three groups and three major centers of the planetary logos. So we have to ask, what are they? How strong are they in relation to... I think we have a little problem here. I'll turn this off for a second. Okay. So how strong are they in relation to the chain lords? And where are the three major centers? Are these like the three Kabbalistic higher centers above the seven? This is the first time I really recall recognizing that the groups of Kumaras are like the three major centers in a planetary logos. So Kumaric head, Kumaric heart, Kumaric throat. And these three correspondences, are higher prototypes of the three departments of hierarchy. Okay. So, this is interesting, and I think I'm going to put this here into the, sorry for the delay, into the AAB extracts, and Kumara is divided into three groups and three major centers of the planetary logos, and are three major centers. Okay. Now, we can put this off and come back to our work in the right. I want to put this in this way. Okay. Okay, good. A little bit of a delay there, but we have to have higher correspondences to the three departments of hierarchy, and we do in the three higher centers of the planetary logos, which are undertaken by the divisions of Kumaras. Now, these are entities who are Kumaras who have come to our planet. And they are, I suppose, shambolic beings. So there's a higher correspondence here in Shambhala to the three departments of hierarchy with all their masters and ashrams and so forth. These Kumaras, or their present substitutes, can also be divided into seven groups, which correspond to the seven rays and are in themselves the life of the center for which they stand. Well, we cannot divide seven. Can we? Yeah, we can divide seven into 105, and we can get 15. 15. If we divide, so 15, therefore, of these entities, again the 10 and the 5, form the center, a center in the body of the planetary logos. This is so important about the Kumaras. Some of them have been planetary logoi in the past. And the three Kumaras about whom we are told, who in themselves are fivefold, making 15, are the entifying lives of the particular center which is involved in the coming initiation of the heavenly man. This really has to be studied. Page 388, 387, and 388. And I'll just say about this, that this is TCF 387, 388, vital information about the Kumaras. Vital information. Vital information about the Kumaras and planetary centers. Okay. Vital. I think I'll just simply do that, and I know what I'll do. I'll give you a break. That's what I'll. Well, that little tangent arose because another fact that should be noticed about these great beings, you see, it's just an extraction, and it doesn't tell us what they are, so I had to go on a search for what they were and found some very interesting information about the Kumaras and the planetary centers and the various ways of dividing them into three groups, into seven groups. Anyway, we have 105 Kumaras, and even if we were to look at the esoteric Kumaras, they could still be part of the three groups of Kumaras, which would have, instead of 35, they'd have 36. You kind of wonder where Sanat Kumara would be in these divisions of 35. Would he be along the second ray line in some way, being trying to demonstrate his soul at this time? Anyway, it's Kumaras we are speaking of. And another fact that should be noted about these great beings is that when viewed in their seven groups, and here is what we want to say about them, the seven groups. In other words, seven groups, 105 divided by 3 divided by 7 equals 15. So they have 15 in the seven groups. They are focal points for force or influence emanating from the other solar centers or schemes and from these seven rays. So every group of 15 receives a particular ray energy. The seven divisions of the occult hierarchy, they form the seven divisions, and they are, let's say, above each of the ashrams. So another 14 is here found. The 14 is the seven, let's say, seven ashrams and the seven groups of Kumaras. Another seven, the seven Ray Lords and the seven Kumaras, including the esoteric Kumaras. So there we have a very strong 14. They exist, as does the heavenly man himself, in etheric matter. What kind of etheric matter? Is it cosmic etheric? And are literally great wheels, or centers of living fire. Such will be our vehicles later. All beings are really manifesting as spheres, and the dense physical bodies are, dense physical bodies are not there yet. Monastic and electric fire, living fire, monastic and electric fire, they vitalize the body of the heavenly man. So this brings us great wheels. So all the reports of the angels and the visions of Ezekiel has great wheels, wheels in the heavenly HVN, heavenly spheres, HEAVN, heavenly spheres, or centers of living fire, monastic and electric. Even a solar angel, we know, can manifest as a sphere or a wheel, you know, a wheel with so many spokes, maybe as a sphere. Monastic and electric fire, they vitalize the body of the heavenly man and hold all together as an objective whole. The function of Kumaras. They make a planetary triangle with the chain, within the chain, and each of them vitalizes one globe. Well, there are seven, and they make are we talking about a sevenfold group that make a triangle? Anyway, we can understand that, and this is very important, the seven Kumaric groups each vitalize one globe, and there would have to be greater Kumaric groups not related to our globe, which would vitalize chains. The number of beings here who are related, resonant, and probably emanations of each other is staggering. But the planetary economy is upheld by these inner wheels of fire. So let's just say that Kumaras are inner wheels of fire. Both electric and monastic. I didn't see the, unless of course monastic means higher manas and hence connected with the Manasic can mean higher Manas, and thus connected with solar fire. Certainly, it is possible. Okay, two connecting principles are needed. This requires a living spiritual fire of the middle principle from the fifth and third states of Pleroma. So, you know, from the fifth creative hierarchy and the third creative hierarchy. This fire is in possession of the triangles. The triangles can be called the members, well, the triads are called the members of the third creative hierarchy. Let's take a look here and see what their names are. There it is. And I think they are called, the triple flowers. Okay, well, neither triangles nor triads, but they are behind the, I think, the hierarchy behind the spiritual triads. Okay. Second, just as in the, okay, two connecting principles are needed. This requires a living spiritual fire of the middle principle, and this is a solar fire. Only we'll call it that in red, from the fifth and third states of Pleroma. And who are the triangles? Well, the triangles may be the triads. I just want to suggest that the triangles are the souls and also the triads. To think of the relationship between the third and the fifth hierarchy, there is much that connects them, and souls are called triangles. The fifth, it's almost as if three and five are two aspects of the same thing. Now, we call the fifth creative hierarchy the human personality, and yet the fifth creative hierarchy, is it fifth from the bottom? We are told that by rejecting the offices of the, rejecting to link with the fifth, with the third creative hierarchy, one is rejecting the Christ principle and hence is precipitated into the eighth sphere. The third creative hierarchy is also the eighth. So I just want to put this as something that has to be done for the future, and probably I've done some of it in the past. Relate the meaning of the third creative hierarchy to the fifth creative hierarchy. In the fifth is dual, and when we look at the descriptions of the fifth creative hierarchy, they are called hearts of fiery love, and not only by the name crocodiles. Okay, I think what we're saying here is that the unifying fire is coming from both the fifth and the third creative hierarchy. So if we reject the third creative hierarchy, we refuse to become a Christ. Well, that sounds very much like the rejection of the fifth creative hierarchy. And I think much attention should be given to the idea that the third creative hierarchy is the fifth creative hierarchy. And you would kind of wonder, you know, who really are the solar angels? Because the true ego is the triad. And yet it seems right that a higher type of Venus rules the solar angels. There's really a deep, looks to me like one of those mysteries within mysteries. I remember puzzling over this when I was doing my Cosmic Fire commentary, and also when I was responding to the PhD groups by tape recording in those days. And somewhere all those tapes are. But how much of value can be found there? I hope I've managed to synthesize more of it now. Second, just as in the case of man, certain triangles of force are found at different stages of evolution. Or to word it differently, different centers become geometrically linked, such as... what page is this? 369. We have check with as well, Cosmic Fire page 170. Check TCF 170 where different triangles are given. This is at different stages of evolution. This is called man controlled from the astral plane. And I think I can establish that if I go here to Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 170 or so. And here it is, base of spine, heart, solar plexus and heart. Man controlled from the astral plane. There it is. So it's being repeated on a later page. This is on page 169. Man controlled from the astral plane, and there it is. TCF. 169. Put it in green so we can discriminate it from the other text that we're actually commenting on. Okay, now let's see what the next triangle will be. Oh, I want to get a better green than that. Okay, or again, solar plexus, heart, and throat. Now, I don't think this one is listed here. No, it's not. It's the throat, heart, and base of spine. But solar plexus, heart, and throat, we might just say that man is becoming more mental. So this could be more advanced man. More advanced man. Okay. More advanced. Man, still solar plexus, but the throat center for intelligence, is coming in. And so, in the case of a heavenly man or a solar logos, a similar event occurs. Such an event transpired in this round in relation to the center which our planetary logos embodies, and we might call it the base of spine center. It became geometrically linked with two other centers, of which Venus is one, and logoic kundalini circulating with tremendous force through the suggested triangle brought about that intensification of vibration in the human family which resulted in individualization. So we learned that logoic kundalini was stimulating Earth, Venus, and Saturn. And now we're talking about the release of Kundalini as well. So let's just review this Earth, Venus, Saturn thing. Earth, Venus, Saturn, Kundalini. So there it is. And that's on page 182. It is a triangle, Earth, Venus, Saturn, which is consequently increasing in vibratory capacity of its centers. It's undergoing vivification through the action of Kundalini. So if this is the case, why not... Now, let's see. I'll just say Earth, Venus, form a triangle, present point of evolution. Venus, they form a triangle of great interest. Venus, Earth, and Saturn. So let's look here at Venus, Earth, and Saturn, 181, 182, and put it here, TCF 181, 182. We'll put it here, make it green, and make it small. So then, such an event transpired in this round in relation to the center which our planetary logos embodies, base of the spine center, at this time. It became geometric. Now, that's not necessarily the same thing as the center as the sort of permanent atom which our planetary logos embodies. There seems to be a difference there between the vehicle and the principle and the chakra that appears in the etheric body. It became geometrically linked with two other centers, of which Venus is one, and logoic kundalini circulating with tremendous force brought about an adjustment of vibration and individualization. And so here comes our question. Was Saturn involved in individualization? Let's see. Was Saturn involved in individualization? Well, it does create distinction and separation and intelligence, throat center. So maybe the other center is the throat center of the solar logos or Saturn. A triangle then of and we'll put this, such an event transpired in relation to the center which our planetary logos embodies and two other centers, and we'll say that Saturn might be one. Certainly with Sanatkumara and his Venus-Saturn connection, and the importance of Sanatkumara in the hierarchy, you know, in nurturing the whole individualization process, and the relation of the solar angels to the lords of the flame, Saturn might be involved. All right, a hint can here be given to those who have the power to see, and I do believe we did this before. Three constellations are connected with the fifth logoic principle in its threefold manifestation. Sirius, two of the Pleiades, and a small constellation whose name must be ascertained. And this was Stephen Pugh's idea of Leo Minor. So Sirius, Merope, Electra, and Leo Minor. We'll put that there in want of anything better, and Stephen may be very right. These three govern the appropriation by the logos of his dense body, because Ray 5 is connected with density, right? Ray 5 connected with density and concretion. Connected. How about that? When the last pralaya ended and the etheric body had been coordinated, a triangle in the heavens was formed under law which permitted a flow of force producing vibration on the fifth systemic plane. When the last pralaya ended, the solar logoic pralaya, see, a bit more is given here, and the etheric body had been coordinated after, you know, reestablished thus the first, the third, the fifth, but not the seventh, maybe. A triangle in the heavens was formed under law which permitted flow of force producing vibration of the fifth on the fifth systemic plane, and this is the mental plane. That triangle still persists and is the cause of the continued inflow of monastic force. It is connected with the spirilla of the logoic mental unit. Well, I think what the important thing is here, he has one. And could the earth be that one? And as long as his will to persist, his will to be persist, the energy will continue to flow through. In the fifth round, it will be felt at its height. So we've actually been given more of the paragraph. Gratefully, we receive this. So anyway, the four are there. And then a triangle has to be formed, and the etheric body had been coordinated. A triangle in the heavens was formed under law which produced the inflow to the fifth systemic plane. Is that for our entire solar system or just for our Earth? So we're not given, we're given four sources. A triangle was formed, but we are given four sources. So maybe this triangle has to be above. I think I can understand something of what might it be. Two of the Pleiades are involved, but if it's a triangle, then it might be Sirius, Pleiades, Leo Minor. That's a triangle, which permits perhaps fifth ray, or at least monastic inflow into our solar system, affecting the fifth systemic plane, the monastic plane. It's the fifth and the third. The three and the five go together in relation to Manus. That triangle looks like a cosmic triangle, still persistent, is the cause of the continued inflow of monastic force. Let's say, including both... increasing. INCL. Including both ray 3 and ray 5 from the two stars mentioned. But it's the Pleiades that really are the source of the Manus, and particularly, I suppose, if it's Merope and Electra, they are very important in bringing in that type of energy. And it goes to the mental plane and maybe affects all the planetary logoi, and at the fifth round it will be at its height. Okay, that makes sense. The heart of the sun in its relation to the lower and higher mental bodies. So this is the, to my way of thinking, the egoic lotus of the solar logos. And its relation to the lower and higher mental bodies producing that peculiar manifestation we call the causal body. So the heart of the sun and the solar angels are related, and the heart of the sun and the greater solar angel is related to producing the causal body of the solar logos, but now we're talking about the causal body of the, probably the causal body of the human being. In this connection, it must be remembered that the force which flows from the heart of the sun works through a triangle formed by the Venusian scheme, the Earth, and the Sun. This is a little mystifying, because we have the heart of the Sun already. So we have the Venusian scheme, the Earth, but let's see also, could the sun stand for the personality of the solar logos? It might be possible, which might be the means of reaching the Venusian scheme. Usually, if the heart of the sun and sun are two different things, the sun is the physical nature, and maybe the personality nature of the solar logos. Heart of the sun is its soul nature, and the earth has to be the recipient. But the sun is somehow involved in the transmission. I think that's all we can say at the moment. The sun is involved in the transmission from the heart of the sun to the Venus scheme and thence to the Earth scheme. We do have to have, is the lower mental body involved in the egoic lotus? Yes, in this sense, that the mental unit, which the solar logos also has, and presumably the planetary logos also has, is directly related to the lower mental body. Okay. to the lower metal body. All right. So, wow, this stuff goes deep, and we have to have enough connections here to at least get a network of possible coherence. Yeah, so, and in a way, the point or the atom, or partial atom, because a mental unit is in a way a partial atom, fourfold partial atom, where the other two lower ones are sevenfold, with all spirilla intact, the heart of the sun is working through, it has a connection with the lower and higher mental bodies, and if the heart of the sun corresponds to the soul, then the sun corresponds to the lower mental body. That could be a way of looking at it. Also, the other vehicles, the seed of them, or the central point of power within them, is still within the causal body, interestingly enough. And why not learn to spell mystifying correctly? Okay. Mystifying. All right. Well, we're almost there. That another triangle was also formed involving two planets was to be expected under the law, and triangles vary according to the scheme involved. Now, I think we have rather a bit more of these cosmic fire statements, and it might be well not to go too far, but let's take a look at 664 and see if we can reference that other triangle. Physical sun, subjective sun, heart of the sun, subjective sun, and its connection with the astral plane. That is so important. The subjective sun is sometimes referred to as the heart of the sun, but really, the subjective sun has to do with the astral body of the solar logo. So I think I'll put that down. And that is TCF 664. And we'll say subjective sun, not heart of the sun, but related to the astral body of the solar logos. All right, it doesn't want to work. All right, that's a save. And, of course, it becomes necessary to see whether, why, and so forth. When it switches down to U.S. English, I'm in trouble, because I'm using U.K. English at the moment. Okay, so that another triangle was to be formed. Let's take a look at what that is. Was also formed. Let's look at it. That another triangle was also formed. That should be right here. All right. The heart of the sun and its relation to the lower, higher mental body is producing that peculiar manifestation we call the causal body. In this connection, it must be remembered that the heart of the sun is flowing through Venus, Earth, and the sun. That another triangle was also formed involving two planets was to be expected, and maybe it's Venus and the Earth. But what is the original triangle? Well, this will, I'm going to have to defer that. Maybe I should have certain ones of these references that I just defer for a future time, because I'd have to locate which it was. Physical sun, prana, okay. Subjective sun, astral plane. Central spiritual sun, spirit, or atma in man. I'd like to call it the atman in man, instead of atman, instead of atma. The heart of the sun, in its relation. In this connection, it must be remembered that the force which flows through the heart of the sun works through a triangle formed by Venusian, Earth, and Sun. That another triangle was also formed involving two planets was to be expected. Well, he doesn't really give this to us, does he? And, well, the Venusian scheme and the Earth, and maybe another planet altogether, or another two planets altogether, from the heart of the sun. I can think of many things, but I don't want to venture off because there's not enough. This is a strong hint, but there is not enough there to make sure we're on the same, on the right track. So I'll put it like this. Strong hint, analysis deferred. Because what might that other triangle be? I mean, you know, you can think of Neptune and Jupiter connect with the heart of the sun, but what has it to do with involving two planets? Uh-huh. Could it be? Well, you know, I never give up here. Could it be in relation to Earth? And could the heart of the sun work through? Well, we do have a triangle here involving the Earth. Venus and the Earth, they are two planets, and then the sun is involved. So, yes, no, I'm going to keep it just the way it is. Strong hint, analysis deferred. S-H-A-D, shad. Okay. All right, we must recognize another triangle within the Earth scheme of the chains. The Earth chain, the Venus chain, and the Mercurian chain. So it's like a 2-4-5 triangle. Let's say 2-4-5 triangle. But this triangle entirely concerns the centers of the planetary logos of our scheme. And in this particular case, a systemic formation of great importance in the next round should be pointed out, which will bring in three schemes. Which schemes are involved here with this 2-4-5? Which schemes involved with 2-4-5? I wonder, can we possibly know which they are? When we look at the Earth chain, the Earth scheme, we have... Let's see. This is my mouse acting up again. Okay. I'll try to see whether this will somehow help. We have the Earth chain, the Venus chain, and the Mercurian chain. Here's the triangle, right here. And maybe the full flowering of what the Venus chain instigated on the Earth chain will occur on the Mercurian chain. Now, seventh chain is Jupiter. Maybe these three chains are particularly related to the planets connected. So I wonder if we have, in a way, a heart center with Venus, if we have a base of the spine with the Earth, and if we have an ajna center here with Mercury. They are definitely fivefold. The number five is so important here in both of these, as you see, and you really don't see that anywhere else. Here in Mars chain, the number six. In the Saturn chain, the number six is not very articulated. In the other ones, Jupiter and Neptune, very subjective, not discussed. But the fourfoldness on Earth and the fivefoldness here, particularly with Mercury and Venus. Venus and Mercury. Well, our planetary logos is rather developed in some ways. It's an initiate of the first degree. I wonder about these chains. And you know, I'm going to offer a couple of possibilities and then call it quits until we start again. the centers of the logos of our scheme. So let's say alternatives. Earth chain, base of spine, center. Venus chain, solar plexus center. Mercury chain, okay, Mercury chain, I should have that. And that would be the Ajna center. This is one way of looking at it. But of course, you know, there are other ways as well. Sometimes you look at our Earth and you wonder, is it a base of the spine in direct reflection of the function of our planetary scheme? Or is it with its second ray soul some kind of heart center? This is complex, and only speculation is allowed. Another way of doing it is the Earth chain, base of spine center. Venus chain, heart center. And Mercury, and Merc chain. There it is. Here's the Ajna center. This is another possibility. Now, I cannot say with any certainty that these are exactly correct. It's easier, in a way, to find the planetary correspondences in the solar logos than it is to find the chain correspondences in the planetary logos. But when you look at the Earth chain, it's right down there at the bottom, and there's a fourfoldness involved here. Is it really the base of the spine? You know, we have kind of a correspondence between Venus and Mercury involving the monastic permanent atom and mental unit, but this is a different context. Mercury is mental. There's no question about it. The throat center is also possible for Mercury, but we do have a Saturn chain coming around, and it's a creative chain, I suppose. The throat center is always creative. Not too much is given on it, and the moon chain, you know, could have been connected with the throat center, or maybe with the sacral center. Maybe the Mars chain is connected with that sacral center of our planet. Well, I have said that the chains are the major centers. Now, compare the chains as the major centers of a planetary logo 7, and then compare these groups of Kumaras, 35 each, as the three major centers of the planetary logos. Are they higher? Are they the three above the seven? All I can do is outline the question and hope that later we can get into it in a deeper way. I wouldn't mind seeing Venus here as the heart. But then, you know, maybe Mars. Well, it's not easy. There is a Jupiter chain. It's the seventh chain. And you kind of wonder, is the first chain related to the head? And is there a Vulcan chain? I don't really see one. So if there was a Vulcan chain, it could be the head center. In our solar, in our planetary logos, solar plexus is unfolded, sacral is unfolded, and there may be hints here. Base of the spine, well, to a degree. Throat center would have to be reasonably unfolded. And the heart center, well, it is an initiate of some degree, but the what would be the two centers you would not expect to find unfolded in a first-degree initiate? And they would be the head center and the base of the spine center, with all others unfolded. So maybe if we look at these very, how would we say that, non-articulated or conventionalized representations, maybe they do represent the head center and the base of the spine center in some way. Neptune is, in a sense, the base of the spine center. We've seen that on page 301. It can be connected with it, which is really strange. And Jupiter, well, it's usually connected with the heart center. And it has a seventh-ray quality to it. So are we looking at two centers which would not be unfolded? Of course, to a degree, the base of the spine center would have to be unfolded. Are there any other two centers which would not be unfolded in a first-degree initiate, which our Earth Logos is? Well, the head center would be one. The throat center, we would expect to see some unfoldment. Sacral center, a lot of unfoldment. A lot. Sacral and solar plexus on our planet are well unfolded. The heart center to a degree. The Ajna center to a degree. And maybe Mercury is that. Well, here's the thing. Is our Earth the base of the spine? And are these other two centers what? The head center for sure, but what else? Everything else would have to be unfolded to a degree. So it is perplexing. One of these is the head center. Is it the first center? Head, then Venus, heart, Saturn, throat, Mercury, Ajna. So we would have the head, heart, throat, Ajna, solar plexus, sacral, and base of the spine, the seventh chain. Well, we're not going to come to a conclusion here. We'd have to really reason about this. But one of the things I want to point out is that two of the circles are just conventionalized. They are either conventionalized because he doesn't want to tell us anything about it, the first and seventh, or because they represent centers that really are not unfolded, such as the head center would not be very unfolded in a planetary initiate of the first degree. I've sometimes thought even that since the fourth chakra is the heart chakra and the Earth, in some strange way, according to its second-ray soul, could be connected with the heart chakra. But then what would we do with Venus? Mercury would be the throat? Venus? No. Venus the throat? Mercury? Either way, Mercury Ajna? Then Mars would be what? The solar plexus? And Saturn taking the place of the moon, not likely to be the sacral. As you see, there's always something missing when you try to configure this. Well, you know, should one take the day off and just work this out? And I keep on saying, in the new schools, this will be done. So should I make a promise to myself in some future incarnation to work this thing out? We do have Venus connected with the Ajna in man, mentioned as a heart in the cosmic fire, and as a part of the lower quaternary and not part of the upper three, which the heart usually is. With its sixth-ray monad, it could very easily be a solar plexus center, but in the planetary context, would it be? It's more like a heart. Mercury Ajna, Mars, what? Solar plexus, the Jupiter scheme or the Neptune scheme, the head, heart of the head perhaps, and then the Earth is the base of the spine. But still something is wrong. I'm pretty stubborn about this. One of these is the head center, Mercury Ajna, Saturn throat, Venus heart, Mars, solar plexus, or Mars sacral, Earth solar plexus. Jupiter's not going to be solar plexus, is it? So which one is the base of the spine? It's usually considered to be the Earth in the solar systemic context. Is it in the chain context? Is there a direct relation? All right, we'll release it. Tough to do. And I'll just say that, all right, we will continue with esoteric astrology. Let's call this the end of Esoteric Astrology 160C, page what? No. Get rid of that. Number lock. And page, what page are we on here? Maybe we can find it above, huh? 691. That's where we are. All right. Page 691. And beginning of Esoteric Astrology 161A, page 691. Well, when I see that number 691, I say, you know, the book has 695 pages. That's four to go. And it makes me think that possibly today something might be brought to a conclusion. So we'll see you a little bit later and get, you know, there are many mysteries here of the functions of the spheres. And, you know, really what we have to, if we know what the planets rule within our own chakra system, we can do something. We can invoke planetary rays to stimulate those chakras when they are in need. That would be kind of like astrotherapeutic magic. I'll mention it. The invoking of planetary rays, astrotherapeutic magic. We could do that. If we know something just inside our own system, that would be something. But then when you start to try to figure out planetary structure and solar systemic structure and the structure of the cosmic logos and the structure of the one about whom not may be said, beyond that we won't go because, you know, is our one about whom not may be said a throat center in a sub-parabrahmanic logos? All right, maybe. But we don't even know what the other ones about whom not may be said might be. So we can't go there. We haven't been given enough to correlate. But we can say, look, here's a one about whom not may be said. Constellations are his centers. He's called the unknown. What are those centers? Here's a cosmic logos. It's a constellation. We know the constituents of this constellation. What are the centers? Here's the solar system. We know the planets. What are the constituents of this solar system? They are planetary. Where do they go? Then we get down into the planet itself. Here's a planetary scheme. Here's some chains, here's some globes, where do they go? What do they mean? What function do they uphold? Here's a planetary chain, here's some globes. What function do these globes have? What chakric function do they have? Well, finally, here's a man. Here are the chakras. Here are the rays that rule the chakras. Here are some planets that are connected with the chakras. With that, we might be able to do something. Okay. Talking on too long, and we'll talk to you in a little bit. Bye-bye.